Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 169, the three stanzas. Thou visitest the earth in love, and sendest showers from above, enriching all the land. Thy streams exhaustless bless the field, preparing it the grain to yield, provided by thy hand. And what follows, Psalter 169, the three stanzas.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Ephesians 4. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Ephesians 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that ye may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. Quinn Van Leer, who is scheduled for surgery on Tuesday. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, and may it please thee to grant in this morning hour unto us and our children, when by renewal we may enter thy courts and meet one another in the land of the living, and to grant what we cannot grant to ourselves and to one another, and that is a broken and a humble heart, under thy sparing, under thy caring, under thy providing, under thy protecting hand, where in the past week then thou wast spared the brittle threads of all of our lives, and thou wast granted unto us and our children another soul's mark a day. And then in the past week, then we have been the recipients of many blessings, and that for a sinful and unthankful people, then it is also pleased thee to open the heavens and not come down with storms and hail, with fire and brimstone, but with gentle showers upon the thirsty earth to quicken the same. And may it then be thy goodness that leadeth us and our children to that repentance and the need to be washed in the precious blood of thy dear Son. Lord, we humbly ask thee, wilt thou do the same in thy house in this day, to send down the gentle showers of thy Holy Spirit upon young and old, to work effectually, powerfully, and lovingly for the first time and by renewal, then in the realm of nature, then the earth can be so thirsty. And now, Lord, thou knowest how that each and everyone has come up to thy house. Ah, may there have come up thirsty souls, where the psalmist of old was given to declare, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee, and my soul longeth and thirsteth for thee in a thirsty land where there is no water. And now, Lord, it is the work of the Spirit to grant that thirst, and it is also the work of the Spirit to fulfill that thirst. Oh, where there is no thirst after thee, the living God, after thy righteousness, after reconciliation, after communion, Oh, wilt thou work that wonderful work in this morning hour in the hearts of boys and girls, in the hearts of our youth and older ones. But, O Lord, shalt thou then work that thirst? Shalt thou then give those holy desires after thee and after thy righteousness? Shalt thou then grant that opening at the throne of grace? Then thou shalt also fulfill it in thy manner, and at that time, thy time, and then we may humbly beg thee, do it in this morning hour, that thy church may be refreshed, that they may be revived, and to be led further into the mysteries of salvation. We commend unto thee our branch. Do help the brother elder in this day, and richly bless thy holy word to the hearts of young and old. We commend unto thee a young couple who are united in holy matrimony, and it is their first Sabbath day, and may it please thee to grant them a special blessing. We commend all the temporal needs unto thee, all the sick and afflicted ones, different circumstances all known unto thee, and do remember the father and husband who is scheduled for surgery this week. And then we may acknowledge thee that thou hast helped and blessed them hitherto. And then we humbly ask thee that the means may be further blessed. Guide the hand of the physician, and above all things, that this speaking may be sanctified in the midst of the family circle. We commend unto thee all those that are taking treatments. May they be blessed. Remember all the mourning ones. There are many amongst us. And do remember the elderly ones. We commend unto thee all those that are struggling and troubled with weakness and difficulties of the mind, where it can seem so dark and so impossible, Lord. Do uphold them. Spread thy gracious wings over them. Place a fiery wall round about them, and grant them a place at thy footstool with thy word opened. Wilt thou so bless thy word over the length and the breadth of the earth? And now, Lord, we humbly beg of thee that thou may grant thy gracious help, that we may be given to explain thy holy word according to the meaning of the Spirit, and that thy word may go forth with power divine. Oh, do remember those that may listen along at home. Remember the sick ones. But do remember in thy house, do go from bench to bench and from heart to heart, and may also in the pews many prayers be sent up unto thee, the living God, for that Pentecostal Spirit who has wrought so wonderfully and so powerfully, where thy church was given to experience the full liberty, and where upon the proclamation of law and gospel, 3,000 were converted, and then thou hast recorded in the scriptures that the Lord added daily unto the church as such as should be saved. How wilt thou do those matters, those wonders amongst us and our dear children in this hour, and that the outgoing of this service may be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. We ask it in a full remission of all of our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 213, the stanzas 10 through 14. Because of their sin, he smote with his rod, and then they returned and sought for their God. Their rock and redeemer was God the Most High, yet false were their praises, their promise a lie. And what follows, Psalter 213, the stanzas 10 through 14, and the extra collection today is for the Student Support Fund.
Thank you.
In this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Ephesians 4, and there of the 30th verse, the first part, where God's word and our text reads thus: "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." Our text words speak, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God," with three thoughts in the first place: the diverse ways to grieve the Holy Spirit. Secondly, the sore consequences of grieving the Holy Spirit. And in the third place, the needed repentance upon grieving the Holy Spirit. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. The diverse ways, the sore consequences, and the needed repentance. Beloved congregation, 2 weeks ago, then by renewal, we were given to remember and commemorate the glorious day of Pentecost, where the church was brought into such a freedom and liberty, and where 3,000 were converted by the Spirit unto the Lord. And that was preceded, as I read in Acts 1, the verses 13 and 14, by a church gathered in one accord with prayer and supplication, begging the Lord for His Holy Spirit. And that work of the Holy Spirit, that is powerful and that is irresistible, and that is loving. And concerning the chosen church, chosen by the Father through Christ, and then for that church, the Spirit comes with power and love. As the Apostle Paul has written to the Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. And nevertheless, what a solemn warning and admonishment that we find in our text concerning the Holy Spirit. And then in the scriptures, then we read different words to describe, to define the sins against the Holy Ghost. Of course, there is also the sin against the Holy Ghost, of which we read in Matthew 12, where there is first spoken of blasphemy, and that sin cannot be pardoned, as we read in 1 John 5, but we also read different words. In Isaiah 63 verse 10, but they rebelled and vexed the Holy Spirit. In 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 19, the command exhortation is given to the church, quench not the Holy Spirit. And that word quench, boys and girls, that means to extinguish. Then we can think of a fire. And then with the fire extinguisher, then we try to put out such a fire. In Acts 5, then there is spoken against lying, against the Holy Spirit. And now in our text, then we read, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And then in the context, then it refers to the true child of God, a child that has received an assurance, because there is added in verse 30, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Oh, it is the work of the Spirit to convert, to instruct, to uncover, to lead and to guide, to comfort, but also to assure. Thus in the context, then it speaks of a child of God that has been brought to the full liberty, received the assurance of the forgiveness of sins. But when we read our text and that we find in the scriptures, thus in the context, then it speaks of the people of God. In the second place, then we are called upon to speak of each and every one, that also for the unconverted, the solemn warning not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Concerning the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of Saul, then we read two times that the Spirit has come upon him, but then on account of sin, because Samuel has stated in 1 Samuel 15 verse 22, to obey is better than sacrifice, and then it is specifically mentioned that the spirit has departed from Saul, and an evil spirit came upon him. And then in the third place, then our text is reference to the church at large, to a congregation, because do we not read, and what a solemn warning, that Christ has sent to the churches of Asia Minor in Revelations 2 and Revelations 3, that they were called, five of those churches were called to repent. We read that word repent seven times in those letters, and then the earnest exhortation that if they would not repent, lest the candlestick be taken out of the midst of them, then each time by renewal, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And now concerning that word grieve, that means a special relationship, because we do not grieve an enemy, we anger the enemy, but we grieve someone who was known, familiar, even a friend. Then boys and girls, when they do not honor their parents, then they grieve their father and mother, of course. It can also be when they persist that they anger them. And now in our text words, then we read, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. In the first place, concerning the living child of God, but also all those under the external administration of the covenant of grace, who may place themselves under law and gospel. And now when we read that word grieve, the Lord is a holy perfection, infinite, unchangeable, but then it is pleased the Holy Spirit in the scriptures to use many terms and many emotions which we ascribe to mankind that is ascribed unto the Lord to tell us a little of the awfulness of sin. And then we even read in Genesis 6, verse 6, and what a solemn word that is concerning the beautiful creation of God, and where man has departed, where violence has filled the earth. Then the Lord has declared in Genesis 6, verse 6, and it repented the Lord that he made man upon the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Thus, what a solemn text we have before us, and young and old, should that not be our great concern, that we do not grieve the Holy Spirit, because to grieve, that is done by God's people, also the unconverted. But now concerning the quenching, that is by the unconverted. And then we must always remember in sin that there is a gradual increase. And when we consider what is written concerning those sins, then we could first say a grieving, a vexing, even a rebellion, and then a quenching, and then what a terrible thing it is, because it does not go at once. Oh, to commit the sin against the Holy Ghost. Let us only say, congregation, when there are souls even troubled, can be in the life of the true child of God when it becomes so still and when the evil arises up in their heart that they can even be troubled with that thought, the sin against the Holy Ghost. But if that is our fear, and we still faithfully use the means of grace, then it is a sure sign that we have not committed that sin. And now concerning our text, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, then in the first place, the third person of the divine Trinity is called holy. Thus then that Holy Spirit is grieved with all that is not holy, and that is especially sin, transgression, and rebellion. Then in the second place, then we must consider what is now the work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is sent forth from the Father and the Son to gather the bride for Christ. And to that end, in that light, we must consider our text. Thus that means congregation, that we grieve the Holy Spirit when we try to hinder that work in the midst of the congregation, and the church shall be gathered, not to misunderstand that the chosen church I read in Isaiah 43 verse 13, I, the Lord, will work, and who shall let it? Oh, there is no heart that can withstand the irresistible saving work of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit works in the context of the congregation, the gathered congregation. We have mentioned the congregations of Asia Minor, where they have grieved the Spirit, quenched the Spirit. And do we not read, as a general rule, it is a general process in Ezekiel 9 and 10, then the Lord is stood on the threshold, ready to depart from the temple, to see if there was yet a people that was troubled and a praying. Thus, in the context of those two matters, that the Spirit is so holy, the third person, but it is also was work to make holy and to work in the midst of the congregation. Thus then, in the context of this chapter, and that was spoken, written to the saints, read to the whole congregation, it is in the context of many sins, which are mentioned in Ephesians 4 and 5. In the second verse of this chapter, calling to forbear one another, verse 15, speak the truth in love, verse 17, not walk as the Gentiles, verse 26, there is spoken of wrath. In verse 27, stealing. In verse 29, communication. And now following our text in verse 31, there is spoken of bitterness and wrath. And when we consider our text words, then it does not concern the infirmities. Oh, Paul in Romans 7, what a trouble he had with that flesh, with that old man. Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, when the church may be in that place, then there shall be prayer for the Spirit that they may be guided, that they may be led, that they may be instructed, that they may be administered out of the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ as prophet, priest, and king. But when we read in our text, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, then there are special ways. And then it concerns all that is holy. And then we especially in the first place mention the holy word of God. I read in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 16 that all God's word is given by inspiration of God. And then how the Spirit is grieved where the Lord has written that word, a precious gift to mankind, declaring how to be blessed for this life, but above all for our never dying soul, where the Spirit has written the awfulness of sin, but also the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then surely the Spirit is grieved when we do not search that word, when we stop our ears for that word, and when we do not obey that word, then the Spirit is grieved. Then further, the holy day of rest, the triune God in his wisdom has given one day in seven, that the Spirit does not mean that the Spirit is not active the other days, but one day in seven set apart, where the Spirit shall especially work by his power and by his love in the hearts of young and old. Then when we do not keep that day holy, and we do not spend time with our dear children, then is the Spirit not grieved. Then further, concerning the holy house of God, I read in Leviticus 26, verse 2, that we are to keep the Sabbath and reverence the sanctuary, when we do not come up to the holy house of God in reverence and in modesty, then surely the Spirit is grieved. And then further, when the prayer chamber is too empty, oh, is the Spirit not grieved when the Spirit speaks in special ways? When the Lord knocks on the door of a sinner of his heart, and such a sinner says, Lord, I am too busy, not now and later, with little impression of the one thing needful. Oh, is the Spirit not grieved? When there are convictions, when there is trouble and trembling, as I read in Acts 24, the verses 24 and 25 of Felix, where he has declared, go thy way this time, I will call for thee when I have a more convenient season. Oh, shall the Spirit not be grieved when the Lord grant us such plentiful gifts accompanied with his holy word, and that the goodness of the Lord does not turn unto the Lord, as shall the Spirit not be grieved when with King Agrippa in Acts 26, when there are impressions that we need to become a true Christian, a living child of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that such a one says, thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian. Oh, shall the Spirit not be grieved when the Lord sends special callings affliction, sickness, spared in accidents and death, and yet when upon the knocking upon the door of the heart, a speaking conscience, when we try to smother that voice, oh, young and old, what a blessing and what a privilege it is when by the common working of the Spirit that we may have a tender conscience, and that many times it speaks, oh, do not shove it away. Do not tell the Lord that you were too young people or too busy, but oh, do then ask the Lord that he may work savingly, that he may not leave you alone, that those convictions may not wither away, but that the Spirit may work savingly to uncover to our awful state and to be brought to the glorious knowledge of the greater Bridegroom. Further, when we have idols which we place in the place of the Lord, when there is the hardening of the heart, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, it concerns the children of God. I read in Zechariah 4, verse 10, and despise not the day of small things. Ah, the true child of God, how troubled they can be, because the true child of God shall experience wonderful things, and when they are given to believe and see, then they are not small things. But child of God, remember, it is not the foundation. We need to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, then I hear a soul say, but if I now was sure that those small things, that they were the saving work of the Spirit, ah, then I would deny them and perhaps rest upon them. Then further, is the Holy Spirit not grieved when an uncovered sinner continues to try to be saved by their works, that they try to make the foundation of their salvation their doing and doing not? And it is necessary that a child learns that it is accounting the blood of Christ an unclean thing. Ah, for the true children of God, then how often they are given to beg, ah, Lord, teach me. Wilt thou guide and lead me and place me upon the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, surely, then the child is given to grieve the Lord with their unthankfulness, with all the gifts, and that what a burden that can be for the true child of God. Ah, what a privilege when with Job 23, verse 16, and God maketh my heart soft. Then further, when the child of God, when they trust in Egypt, when they trust not in the Lord, and not that dependent life, living out of the hands of the Lord, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. Ah, for the church, what you think, church of God? We read in Genesis 24 that Abram, together with Isaac, has sent his servant, believed to be Eliezer, to fetch a bride for Isaac. And what would you think of Rebekah if she was now happy with those gifts and she had remained in that faraway country, that she was satisfied therewith, and not with those longings, that she may be joined to Isaac. Oh, what a precious word that I read in verse 58, where they were given to ask, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And then she was unconditionally given to say, "I will go." Oh, the necessity for the child of God. That is now the special work of the Holy Spirit, because people, there can be feelings and there can be emotions and there can be text, but we need to become that. That is now the work of the Holy Spirit, to bring that bride to the greater bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, as a lost, unworthy, and hell-worthy sinner, that room may be made for that precious Jesus. That is the work of the Spirit. Secondly, the sore consequences. Let us first sing. Psalter 255. Let us sing 2 and 3, and if necessary, also 4. For how great a God and glorious is Jehovah, whom we sing. Over idol gods victorious, great is he, our God and King. 255, 2 and 3, and if necessary, 4. Thank you. and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. The diverse ways to grieve the Spirit, and now secondly, the sore consequences of grieving the Spirit. There are many churches, also in our country, where formerly the truth was proclaimed, a walk according to the Word of God, where the Spirit was grieved in the way of doctrine and in life, but also what has all transpired in the places of worship, that it was no longer according as the Spirit has recorded in the Holy Word of God, that the Word was no longer central. The Spirit has departed. It became quieter and quieter. And now afraid where there is nothing left. As a general rule, I go step by step. And nevertheless, what a solemn warning. And when we read our text words, then should we not all turn it into fervent prayer, O Lord? Wilt thou not leave and forsake us? Wilt thou work lovingly and powerfully by thy Holy Spirit in the hearts of young and old? In the context we have stated, it refers to the child of God. And then also many times, it is a gradual departing. Although God's people know of those times, that the Lord has suddenly withdraw his loving influence, and they know the reason. Think of 2 Samuel 24. When David has numbered the people, his heart has smitten him, and he knew why that angel was over Jerusalem with that outstretched arm. And how concerning the consequences, and many times the causes and consequences, they are the same, although the consequences go further. And then when the Holy Spirit is grieved, then in the life of the true child of God, then it becomes still, then it becomes dark, no tears, and no soft heart. And if there was only that grief, but alas, and even many times the Lord has to chastise his child to bring them on the right place. And grieve not the Holy Spirit. Boys and girls, you have seen it many times, we see it. When we have an irrigation pivot and where the water falls, there the crop may flourish. And then at the corners, then what do you see? When it is dry, that the plants, that they are so small and that they are starting to become limp, and if soon rain does not come, that they shall perish. Oh, when it may be so, the Lord has a people. When he begins, and when they are so thirsty, Oh, then they can compare themselves to that little plant in the corner. And then they may look, as we read in the gospel, of that man that has received the sight, and that he saw the man as trees walking. Oh, then those little plants, what a prayers and what a desires, but they shall not be souls that grieve the Spirit. But now for the child of God, then further, then how slothful they can be. Oh, there is still form and duty, but if the child is honest, then it can even be a more a burden than a delight. And then such a one shall not be so exercised with the coming of God's kingdom and the glory of his great and worthy name. Then there shall not be that godly sorrow over their own sin, and also over the sin of their fellow man. And then many times it shall be, as I read in Amos 4, verse 13, that the prudent shall keep silent, because it shall be an evil time. And then in the life of such a child, resting upon past experience, living out of the gifts, but not so concerned with that sweet communion, Lord, with thee. Oh, then they are given to resemble. We have the example in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, of that bride that was laying on her bed, and then the bridegroom on a long journey, returning in the night watches, and then he has knocked on the door, and she has not opened. Oh, then the necessity to come in the guilt. And then for such a soul, oh, the confession can still be so reformed and so orthodox. John Flavel, in a certain sermon, has mentioned how that the Church of God can misuse the precious doctrines of free and sovereign grace. And then for one that grieves the Spirit, then they become unfruitful. They do not arouse to such a jealousy and not such a close examination concerning the wise and the foolish virgins. They are given to reason themselves within. And then further, not a dependent life, living more for the time than for eternity. And as a general rule, then we hear, what an awful thing it is to grieve the Holy Spirit. And then usual, the church shall learn how dependent they are. But then the goodness of the Lord does not bring them on that right place. And when the Lord sends afflictions, then oftentimes they are not sanctified. They do not receive a special visit. Oh, then the church is not like a Moses, not like an Ezekiel, and not like a Jeremiah. Our third thought, the needed repentance upon grieving the Spirit. And that is also the true work of the Spirit. because the Lord is jealous of his honor. And then the true child of God, then it is the work of the Spirit to bring them on the right place, that tender place, that close place, to bring reconciliation. And what is now necessary? A repentance. And in that repentance, oh, I read in Jeremiah 3, verse 13, only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou wast sinned against the Lord, and that such a one is brought to the place, be given to see, to confess with sorrow that they have sinned against that precious indwelling Spirit, and on account of their sins not to misunderstand, when the Spirit takes up his abode in the heart of his chosen ones, he shall never depart. But then they shall not experience those special and the saving influences of his work and of his further teaching. And now the necessity. Oh, blessed the bride, as I read in that same chapter, chapter 5 of the Song of Solomon. Oh, that faithful bride, bridegroom, for an unfaithful bride. And then he has put his hand to the hole of the door, dripping with myrrh, the mediatorial work of Jesus Christ, his suffering, his death, the dowry that he has paid. And then the bride was awakened out of her drowsiness, and then she became active, or realized what she had done to her dear bridegroom, that she has not given heed to his callings. And then, as a poor beggar at the throne of grace, and then to be given to flee to that precious Jesus, to receive the pardoning also of the great sin of grieving the Holy Spirit. For the true child of God, the wonder only becomes greater, that the Lord, that covenant Jehovah, that he shall never forsake the work of his own hands, but the Lord is jealous of his own honor, and therefore each time by renewal he shall return them with weeping and with supplication. Oh, then by renewal, beggars at the throne of grace, and then they shall pray continually for the Spirit. Oh, think of David, after he has fallen into great sin. His condition is stated in Psalm 32. And then when he became the guilty one, given to confess, given to repent, then he is even asked in Psalm 51, verse 11, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. What a profound prayer. And to that end, Christ has admonished his church to watch and pray and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Congregation, shall we give heed to that exhortation? Shall we pray much that we may be kept from sin, that the Lord gives us not over to the hardening of the heart. May we be given to pray much, all boys and girls and youth, but for all of us to keep a tender conscience, that we grieve not the Lord by blatantly disobeying his word. Oh, what solemn admonishment. I read in Proverbs 1, the verses 24 through 26. Because I have called and ye have refused. I have stretched forth my hand and ye have not regarded. And then the Lord has said that the Lord will laugh. When our fear cometh, mock with our calamity. But we are still in the precious day of grace, because then we can understand, congregation, to pray for the Holy Spirit, for conversion, for instruction, and for leading, and then to grieve that same Spirit. That does not make sense. I think our boys and girls can even understand it, and therefore, as a people, may we be given to earnestly ask the Lord, not only for the common working of the Spirit. It is a blessing when the Lord does not leave us over to ourselves, not given over to the hardness of the heart, but above all for the saving work of the Spirit, where the chosen church, as a poor sinner, may come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, that backslidden people that is so portrayed concerning the children of Israel before they even went into captivity. And then Jeremiah the prophet, in the name of the Lord, has declared, return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Amen. Let us close. Lord, may we be given to examine each of our hearts and our lives concerning our text words, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, and further, not to vex and not to quench. To that end, may thy holy inspired word, may it be highly esteemed in the family circles, husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, with their children. And may the prayers be multiplied. Ah, do pour out thy Spirit in a richer measure amongst us and our children. And Lord, when there are souls that do not know it anymore, to take them by heart and hand, and wilt thou lead them to that greater Isaac, to be the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, wonder-doing God. Magnify thy wonders amongst us, forsake and leave us not. Grant a prayer for one another. Wilt thou graciously watch over us in this day? Return us in this evening hour. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 221, the three stanzas. Great Shepherd, who leadest thy people in love, mid cherubim dwelling, shine thou from above. And what follows? The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. The first wedding announcement of Harvey Edward van de Breinhast and then L. Carolyn Clausa. Lawful objections may be brought to the attention of the consistory. Mr. Henry Favier from the congregation of the Springford Reformed Church has requested to become member of our congregation of the Rostern branch. Lawful objections may be brought to the attention of the consistory before June 27. The sending out service for Mr. and Mrs. Christian Bredeweg is scheduled for Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. in Fort McLeod, with Reverend and Hollander officiating and Reverend Adams doing the sending out on behalf of the North America General Mission. Psalter 221, the three stanzas. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.